O Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, Word everywhere present and fill us all things, Treasury of blessings and Giver of life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of all stain, and save our souls, O Gracious One. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show on Reason and Theology. I'd like to talk about Cardinal Zinn's comments about the Vatican. He is now suggesting that it may be guilty of heresy with its new document, Fiducia Supplicans. Well, I've had Cardinal Zinn on the show before, so I was eager to see his perspective. And so I read this article and I thought this was worth addressing. So I want to do that, but first I want to remind you, hit that subscribe button. If you haven't already, go ahead and do so right now. That will help me reach more people with the content you've been enjoying here at R&T. Okay, so Cardinal Zinn is effectively saying that Cardinal Fernandez should likely resign because he suggests he may have committed a heresy in this new document, Fiducia Supplicans. Let's take a look at this article by CNA that covers the situation. It says, Cardinal Zinn said Pope Francis's recent declaration allowing the blessing of same-sex couples under certain conditions creates confusion, and suggested that its author, Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, should resign or be dismissed. Okay, so one of the concerns here that Cardinal Zinn has is that the document creates confusion. Well, as you probably recall, I don't think Cardinal Zinn was present for this since this was in 2005 and he was made cardinal in 2006, but at a in front of all of the College of Cardinals in 2005 in his Christmas address, Pope Benedict XVI gave a very famous talk where he discussed the hermeneutic of rupture versus the hermeneutic of reform, or what's called continuity. And there he outlines how we are to approach the magisterium. And he especially maps it on to the Second Vatican Council and how we're to interpret it. And what he notes is that we can't read magisterial documents with this hermeneutic of suspicion and rupture, trying to pit things against each other. But rather, we are required to read these magisterial teachings in a harmonious way, to church splain, to magisterium splain, to Christ splain, whatever you want to call it. That is what we are to do as Christians. And Pope Benedict outlined that very well. And he was in part rebuking those in the church who read Vatican II in a way that causes rupture with the past. And he notes that that is the wrong approach. So I want to point out here that I've noticed there are cardinals and bishops saying they think that the document itself is causing confusion. Well, I would challenge that because I think the document's pretty clear. I would say the confusion has mostly been introduced from the critics of the document who have often misrepresented it. That has caused a great deal of confusion. But let's just say that the document itself was confusing. Let's just go ahead and grant that for a moment, hypothetically. My question is, what has Cardinal Zinn and others done? What have they done to clear up that confusion by providing a harmonious interpretation of the document in harmony with the past, as they are required to do according to the hermeneutic of continuity, as Benedict, who made him a cardinal, noted? Now, what I've done on this channel is the first day it came out, I read through every single line of that document, and I showed you how it is harmonious with what came before and how there's no substantial rupture. And I've also spent a number of videos continuing to do that because of the confusion that many critics have continued to cause. So I've put in a great deal of effort in attempting to clear up that confusion and do what one is required to do, and that is interpret this with the hermeneutic of continuity. If I interpret it with a hermeneutic of rupture, I am no different than those who broke away from the tradition of the church and started to dissent against Humanae Vitae, or those who broke away from the church and dissented against Vatican II. I'm no different from them at that point. So I have endeavored, just with a lot of effort at this point as far as time, it's been a very time-consuming thing responding to all of the critics. I've done my best to try to show people it's actually pretty easy to harmonize these things. And I'm certainly no authority on the matter. There are much more qualified people who could do a better job. Certainly Cardinal Zen could do a much better job than I in harmonizing Fiducia Supplicans with documents from the past, right? Wouldn't you say that? Or would you think that I could do a better job than Cardinal Zen? Well, certainly you would say, well, Cardinal Zen can do a better job. Okay, why hasn't he? So there's complaints about it being confusing, but what have you done to address that confusion and clear things up by using the hermeneutic of continuity? That's my sincere and honest question for critics, especially in the clergy. With all due respect, what have you done to clear up the confusion? Well, let's continue, though. It continues, in a statement published January 23rd on his blog, Cardinal Zen said the Declaration Fiducia Supplicans contains numerous passages in need of clarification and leaves many questions unanswered, according to an unofficial translation. Well, I would contest that, but even if that were true, okay, well, the magisterium can always offer further clarifications, and it seems to me that the magisterium has. It seems to me that even the author of the document has made multiple attempts at this point to clarify things, not that the document needed clarification, but clarification in light of the critics who twisted and distorted things. It seems to me the church has done that multiple times now. What still remains confusing, I don't know, but I'll simply say this. If we're having such a difficult time in understanding Fiducia Supplicans and harmonizing it with the past and what has previously come from the same dicastery or from the church in general, I honestly fear that you'll be lost in trying to understand Vatican II and reconciling it with the past. I honestly fear you'll be lost in trying to reconcile the New Testament with the Old Testament. Why are we having such a difficulty here? It's pretty easy. It's pretty simple. If we're having this much difficulty here, I really wonder how on earth can anybody ever stand a chance against an atheist critic. I suspect, however, that it's not an issue of we're just having such great difficulty in harmonizing these things. I suspect that's probably not the case. I suspect in a lot of cases we want rupture. That's the truth. You know why I think some people want rupture? To justify their dissent from other things that the church teaches in this current pontificate. They're dissatisfied with other things from this pontificate, and so they want something to criticize. If that's not it, are we really to believe that a cardinal of the church is incapable of harmonizing Fiducia Supplicans with the past? Am I really to believe that? I'm sorry, but I'm not buying that. I'm just not. And if that is the case, if Cardinal Zen or Bishop so-and-so or whoever is unable to harmonize fiducia supplicans with the past. I have a sincere question. Should they be a cardinal? Should they be a bishop? Should they be a clergyman? That's an honest question. So I'm not buying it. I don't think that the document's this confusing. I don't think that they're really just struggling to understand it. I think there's something else going on. Well, it continues. The 91-year-old Hong Kong Cardinal Emeritus highlighted in particular how the declaration appeared to him to condone sexual behavior in same-sex relationships by implying such a relationship has an intrinsic goodness and can mature and grow. Boy, that's a twisting of what it says. Wow. It's again as if I were to just go to the words of Jesus. Jesus says the Father is greater than he. Well, guess Jesus is a God, right? You wouldn't be impressed if I said that. And you aren't impressed when Muslims and atheists try to use that argument. Well, I guess I'm not really impressed with Cardinal Zinn whenever he does this because it seems pretty comparable. I'll address that specifically here in a moment. But he says it seems to condone the sexual behavior in same-sex relationships. They are somehow tolerated, accepted, that they're condoned. Huh. Well, let's look at the actual document itself. Thought it was pretty clear. Paragraph 11. For this reason, since the church has always considered only those sexual relations that are lived out within marriage to be morally licit, the church does not have the power to confer its liturgical blessing when that would somehow offer a form of moral legitimacy to a union that presumes to be a marriage or to be an extramarital sexual practice. So it says a marriage is the only thing that's morally licit. And then previously in the same document, it defines a marriage as, note this, it is a matter of avoiding that something that is not marriage is being recognized as marriage. Therefore, rites and prayers that could create confusion between what constitutes marriage, which is the exclusive, stable, and indissoluble union between a man and a woman, naturally open to the generation of children, and what contradicts it are inadmissible. Inadmissible. So it defines what marriage is, only between a man and a woman, open to generation. And it pretty explicitly says, any act outside of that is not morally licit. Now, I have to honestly ask, how does that leave room for the notion that same-sex acts or same-sex unions are good and morally licit? When the document is pretty clear, that's not the case. Moreover, I reject the assumption that's behind this critique, and that is, unless the church restates its position on something in the most recent magisterial document, then somehow everything it said in the past is null and void. That's absurd, right? Because if that were the standard, like unless you repeat it and every single new document is just now null and void, unless that, if that's really the standard, then the church will literally have to reproduce every single theological proposition in every single magisterial document every single time it ever speaks, which would be impossible to do. You obviously have to read these things with a hermeneutic of continuity, not rupture. You obviously, even if it didn't speak on the nature of homosexual acts, let's say it just didn't, which it does, but let's say it doesn't. Well, you would assume it still holds firm to the proposition that same-sex acts are sinful because you read it in harmony with previous documents. Because after all, we are not liberals, right? It's the liberals who use the hermeneutic of rupture. Why are we now using it? That's so weird, isn't it? So I reject the underlying premise that is being assumed behind this very critique. The article continues. noting how the declaration appears to be similar to Pope Francis's response to one of five dubia that the cardinal and four other cardinals sent last summer, in which they sought clarification on same-sex blessings. Zinn said fiducia supplicans makes the claim that same-sex sexual love is similar to marital love. Wow. It's similar to marital love, even though the document explicitly notes that everything outside of sexual relations between one man and one woman open to procreation is morally illicit and is inadmissible. Even though it says that, we're going to pretend that somehow it makes the claim that same-sex sexual love is similar to marital love. Again, golly, if we're having this much difficulty with this document, boy, you're ripe for the picking for a set of Acontists to come along and not pick you off pretty quickly and show you, oh, well, look, Vatican II is just completely a rupture with the past, and therefore you should reject Vatican II. And Eastern Orthodox, a well-educated Eastern Orthodox apologist could pick these guys off and pick them apart pretty easily, I would say. This is really not hard. So again, I don't believe that this is an issue of, oh, we're just so confused and, you know, it's just so hard to understand. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. But you'll note that he is one of the dubia cardinals who's partially responsible for the massive amount of confusion in October. Because what happened in October? Well, these cardinals released their questions that they submitted to the Vatican and completely distorted and twisted what Pope Francis said in his response to them. And you'll notice they did it 2 days prior to the Synod and attempted to derail the agenda of the Synod. And you'll also note that they are the ones responsible for the whole fiasco in the news, even secular news, that then told us Pope Francis opens the door to blessing gay unions. You remember that? You remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could thank the five cardinals for that. He was one of them. And he never came out and said, oh, no, I repudiate this whole fiasco, which I documented very well on this channel. Never came out and did that, which shows, okay. Looks like he at the very least tolerates it. So Pope Francis had to release fiducia supplicans in part to respond to these cardinals who created a great deal of confusion and an artificial controversy because they put into doubt Pope Francis's position and they suggested that Pope Francis no longer holds to his 2021 decision that says sin cannot be blessed. They put that into doubt. They did that. He did not. They did that. Cardinal Zinn is among them. Well, speaking of causing confusion, what about that? And you'll note some of these guys who were behind that, you know, some of these cardinals were behind that whole fiasco, are now starting to come out and accuse the Vatican of heresy. Cardinal Seurat being one, Cardinal Zinn another. It's interesting, right? It's kind of the same guys every time, isn't it? And when you start to dig more, you'll start to see some other interesting connections about other things they've done in causing confusion previously. I'm not buying it. It continues. In fact, it gets worse. This is an absolute subjective error, he said. Okay. So he is claiming that fiducia supplicans, again, a magisterial document, contains error in it. And the error is that same-sex sexual love is similar to marital love, even though the document explicitly rejects that position. Okay. According to objective truth, that's an interesting term. Given that objectively it is true that the document does not say what Zinn accuses it of saying. But okay, according to objective truth, that behavior is a grave sin and can never be good. right, which the document says right here, paragraph 11. There you go. But it continues. The cardinal asks that if Fernandez, as prefect for the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, is committing a heresy by claiming a serious sin as good, then shouldn't the prefect resign or be dismissed? Well, boy, this is a really bad chain argument that started out with a straw man and faulty premise and then just continues from there. Boy. Okay. So, first of all, it nowhere claims that same-sex acts are good. Second of all, I'll just point out, I want you to pay attention to what he's doing here. He says Cardinal Fernandez may be committing a heresy in Fiducia Supplicans. What's the problem with that? Well, you know what this reminds me of? People who throw stones and then hide their hand, right? Because let's be real, this isn't an issue with Cardinal Fernandez. This is an issue with the papal magisterium. Cardinal Fernandez is not the only name on that document now, is it? Mm-mm. You know who else's name is on that document? Pope Francis. You know what that means? It's magisterial. So this isn't just an issue of Fernandez may have committed a heresy in Fiducia Supplicans. In reality, you're suggesting the magisterium, the papal magisterium under Pope Francis, has committed a heresy in this document. Why don't you just come out and say that? Why hide your hand, throw the stone behind your hand, and pretend that this is an issue with Cardinal Fernandez? It is not. This is not an issue with Cardinal Fernandez. This is an issue with Pope Francis. If the only name on that document was Cardinal Fernandez, then you'd have a point. But you know what? That's not the only name on there. Yeah, let me show you for the millionth time. What name does that say right there? Boy, that looks like it says Francis to me. Maybe I don't understand how to read English, but it seems like it says Francis. And it looks like it was approved by him on the 18th of December in 2023. And this should start to trigger in your mind some things about the magisterium. Namely, Donum Veritatis, paragraph 18. The Roman pontiff fulfills his universal mission with the help of the various bodies of the Roman Curia, and in particular with that of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith in matters of doctrine and morals. Consequently, the documents issued by this congregation, expressly approved by the Pope, participate in the ordinary magisterium of the successor of St. Peter. And note, it doesn't specify that it has to be in forma specifica, right? In specific form. This could be either in common form or in specific form. As long as it's expressly approved by the Pope, it participates in his magisterium, this magisterium of the successor of St. Peter. So, in reality, the accusation of Cardinal Zinn is not one of just, hey, Fernandez may have committed a heresy and should resign. No, the real accusation here, and I'm pretty sure he knows that this is what is being implied, is that the papal magisterium of the successor of St. Peter has committed a heresy, and that he should resign, not just the cardinal, but the Pope himself. Just say it like it is. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think that Cardinal Zinn is not aware that this document is magisterial? Do you think he's not aware of Donum Veritatis 18? I'm pretty sure Cardinal Zinn knows that this is magisterial, right? Anybody with a basic understanding of the magisterium, I think, could arrive at that position. So I think he knows that. Okay. So why did he formulate this accusation against Fernandez and not the Pope. Is this a subtle tactic? So that it's not as conspicuous, we throw the stone but hide our hand? Why not just come out and say, hey, I think Pope Francis committed a heresy here. Just come out and say that. As ridiculous as that position might be, I would respect it a lot more than throwing the stone and hiding your hand and pretending that this is just an issue with the cardinal, as if Pope Francis's name isn't literally right there on the document. And as if Pope Francis hasn't been affirming fiducia supplicans since then. I mean, it's not like Pope Francis came out the next day and said, hey, guys, I never signed that thing. I don't know where that came from. That wasn't me. No, he didn't do that. Instead, he continues to affirm it. This is an issue with Pope Francis, not Cardinal Fernandez. And again, I think he knows that. And then the other question I have is, if he doesn't know that, if he doesn't know that this is magisterial, why is he a cardinal? It's an honest question from my heart. If you don't know the basics of the papal magisterium, should you be a cardinal? No. You know why? Because a cardinal could potentially be eligible to be elected pope. And if you don't even know the basics of the papal magisterium, I'm not so sure that you should be one of those considered to be elected pope or choosing who the next pope is. I kind of think that you should know as a cardinal, right? Again, I think he knows. So draw the necessary conclusions that come from that. Well, let's continue. Zinn was referring to paragraph 31 of the document, which refers to those in same-sex relationships who, although they do not claim legitimization of their own status, nevertheless beg that all that is true, good, and humanly valid in their lives and their relationships be enriched, healed, and elevated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the part where he gets hung up on, paragraph 31. Which I know I've done multiple shows addressing this misunderstanding, but here we go again. Let's do it again. Let's read the whole paragraph once more. And again, I just have to ask the question, if a layman like myself can understand what paragraph 31 is saying, why can't a cardinal? Surely he has more capability and surely he has more resources than I have. I'm pretty sure he has a whole team of scholars and theologians available to him that I don't. Let's read it. Within the horizon outlined here, appears the possibility of blessings for couples in irregular situations and for couples of the same sex, the form of which should not be fixed ritually by ecclesial authorities to avoid producing confusion with the blessing proper to the sacrament of marriage. In such cases, a blessing may be imparted that not only has ascending value, but also involves the invocation of a blessing that descends from God upon those who. Now notice the pronoun used here, right? And notice the phrase here, upon those who, not upon a relationship, not upon a what, but upon those who. That's persons. That's two individuals, right? The blessing is for persons, not their relationship. Again, reasserted by paragraph 5, which says the church does not have the power to impart blessings on unions of the persons of the same sex. That's reaffirmed there. And so obviously this is not referring to blessing the union of the couple. Rather, it's blessing the two persons of the couple, the two individuals, those who. Okay, let's continue though. Recognizing themselves to be destitute and in need of his help. So we're not talking about people who are somehow flaunting their sin and they want to be validated in their sin. No, they are destitute and need God's help. And they do not claim a legitimation of their own status. So these are not people who are seeking a validation of their own status. They are not. These are specifically people who want to be freed from their sin. who beg that all that is true, good, and humanly valid in their lives and their relationships be enriched, healed, and elevated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the part where they get tripped up on. I'll address it here in just a moment, but let's finish the paragraph. These forms of blessings express a supplication that God may grant those aids that come from the impulses of His Spirit, what classical theology calls actual grace. What for what purpose? Why? So that human relationships may mature and grow in fidelity to the gospel, that they may be freed from their imperfections and frailties, so that their relationship is freed from imperfections and frailties and is conformed to the gospel, and that they may express themselves in the ever-enriching dimension of the divine love. So now let's cover that part that they just snipped out and then completely neglected what it says right after that, giving you the meaning. What is it talking about when it speaks of their relationships may be enriched, healed, and elevated? What is it talking about? What is good in their relationship? What can be good in a disordered union? Well, surely you're not naive enough to realize that people who are in disordered unions also sometimes have friendships, for example, right? Sometimes it's not just entirely sexual in nature. They also have friendships, human friendships. And those are things that in and of themselves are good. Now, the object of the blessing is not the human relationship. The object of the blessing is the persons. But one of the effect of the blessing is that whatever good that you do have there, such as human friendships, that can be enriched, but also healed, because they are also violating that human friendship when they sin against each other, right? So whatever is imperfect there, such as sin, they would be freed from that. And whatever is good there, as far as a human relationship, would be healed and enriched. In other words, that they would have a holy friendship. So two persons of the same sex, what is the kind of relationship that they should have? One of friendship, not one of sexually abusing each other. Two persons of the same sex should be friends, and there should be nothing else there. But that friendship is a good, right? And these people often have those, right? So that is what it is referring to here. And that the aid of God, the grace of God, will help their relationship grow in fidelity to the gospel so that they will be holy friends in a holy friendship and stop violating each other and stop sinning against each other, that they would be freed from those imperfections. So it's nowhere condoning sin. It's nowhere blessing the sin. It's not even blessing the good. That's not even the object. The object is the persons. An effect can be had on whatever good is there, but the object is the persons. There is nothing in here about same-sex unions being analogous to a marriage that's repudiating by the document. There is nothing in here that says that same-sex acts are good. That is not what it refers to when it says good here. Again, it is talking about those things that are in their relationship that are good, such as a friendship. Because again, we can't be naive and think that these are just sexual relationships. Obviously, in most cases, people who are in these disordered unions, sinful unions, they also have a friendship. They don't just have sex with one another. They also have a friendship. And now that friendship is being abused because of sin, and it needs to be purified. The friendship in and of itself is good, but it needs to be enriched and healed. This isn't hard. It's not hard. Like I said, I'm a layman. I have never had the kind of theological training that Cardinal Zinn has had. And that was pretty easy for me to harmonize, pretty easy for me to read the document and see what it says. It's pretty straightforward. I just showed you how that's in harmony with what the church teaches. It's completely consistent with the 2021 DDF decision and everything else that the magisterium has said. There's nothing in there that was heretical or erroneous. Everything I just presented to you comes from the document and is in harmony with everything that came from the past. You know why I was able to do that? Because I'm not reading this with an intention of suspicion or looking for rupture or looking for ways to pit one thing against another. But rather, I approach this with a hermeneutic of continuity. Why didn't Cardinal Zen do that? Why did you need me to come on YouTube and do this? Why didn't Cardinal Zen do that? Surely he was capable of it, right? Yes. Yes, he is. So the fact that he didn't do that, what does that mean? You figure it out. It continues. These forms of blessing, the paragraph continues, express a supplication that God may grant those aids that come from the impulse of his spirit, what classical theology calls actual grace. The paragraph I just read to you. It continues. Zen's statement adds another prominent voice to the widespread criticism Fiducia Supplicans has received from prelates and episcopal conferences since its surprise release on December 18th. Again, I have to ask you, all of the critics, have any of them, name me one, just one, have any of these critics that are mentioned here, one of them, have they sat down and offered a resource to the faithful where they show you, here's how to interpret Fiducia Supplicans with a hermeneutic of continuity and reconcile it with the past? Has even one of them ever done that? No. Why is that? They have plenty of time to critique the magisterium, but they don't have any time to show how it actually is in harmony with the past. Why is that? It continues. In his statement, Zen acknowledged that the document stresses no blessing should be misunderstood, and the church does not approve of the sexual union of a same-sex couple or of a man and woman living in an irregular union, not in conformity with the church's teaching. Right. But he still again suggests that the document somehow calls or says that it's analogous to a marriage or that same-sex acts are somehow good. But at the same time, he says, it goes on to say that in certain circumstances, out of pastoral love, blessings may be given to same-sex couples and to other men and women living in irregular relationships. Mm-hmm. That leaves many questions unanswered, the Hong Kong cardinal said. While at the same time, the document explicitly precludes the possibility of further discussion on it. That's actually a straw man. That's a straw man. First of all, what does it leave unanswered? Gosh, how much more clear can you really get? I don't know. I don't think anything will ever be good enough for the critics, it seems. But, okay. Now, it says here it precludes any possibility of discussion. Really. This is such a straw man. Let's go to it. It's towards the end of the document. Let me find it for you. Let's see where it is. Trying to find the paragraph where it is. Let's see. Here, paragraph 41. What has been said in this declaration regarding the blessing of same-sex couples is sufficient to guide the prudent and fatherly discernment of ordained ministers in this regard. Thus, beyond the guidance provided above, no further responses should be expected about possible ways to regulate details or practicalities regarding blessings of this type. And by the way, it says should be expected. expected. Should be expected. That doesn't rule out all possibilities, but it says you shouldn't expect anything else on what? To regulate details about this. That's much more specific than. That leaves many questions unanswered, while at the same time, the document explicitly precludes the possibility of further discussion of it. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It does not at all say, nope, no more discussion. That's not what it says. It just says you shouldn't expect any more ways to regulate this, any more regulatory details. It's not hard. So I have to ask the question, if we strawman the document on such a simple point as this, could it be that we're strawmanning it elsewhere? If we're having such difficulty understanding paragraph 41, which is pretty straightforward, I suppose I could understand why we're having a difficulty elsewhere. But then I have to raise the question, if you're having this much difficulty in understanding a pretty basic document, should you be a cardinal of the church? Look, you know, being a clergyman is not for everybody, right? You know, some people, they would be great lawyers. Other people would be business salesmen, and you know, they would be good office administrators. They would be good judges. Others would be great doctors, and so on. Not everybody's cut out to be a minister. And I'm not making any particular claims about Cardinal Zen, but I have to raise the question: is it not a requirement if you're going to be a minister, let alone a cardinal? Should you not be able to understand some basics about what a magisterial document says? Yeah, okay. So why do we get this wrong? Why was this so hard? Why do we continue to strawman? I've heard this so many times that, oh yes, the document precludes and excludes any further discussion on this matter. I've heard that so many times from people strawmanning the document. I've heard it so many times that I now have to suspect, did Cardinal Zen hear it from other people? Or was that actually his conclusion from really reading paragraph 41? If he heard it just merely from other people, then that's a problem, because that means you're going to other people instead of the actual document. And then number two, if you actually derived that from paragraph 41, I question whether or not you need to be a ministry. I honestly do. Now, it's ultimately not up to me who is in ministry, but I just sincerely question it. It's kind of like a doctor who, you know, can't tell you the basics of human anatomy. I don't know if that guy should be a doctor. Just have to throw that one out. So I really just wonder, why are we having such difficulty here? The article continues here. Turning to what he saw as another point of confusion, he said that in a subsequent January 4th clarification, Fernandez strongly denied that the declaration was contrary to ecclesiastical reasoning, but on the other hand, recognizes that bishops and bishops' conferences have reason to have certain doubts about it and will need a longer period of time to study it. What Fernandez is saying is that, look, there are some practical difficulties with this in particular situations, and that's ultimately going to be something that each bishop has to determine for their own territory, and that's legit. It's totally understandable. Zinn said that this is tantamount to saying that fiducia supplicans is not valid for the time being. No, it is not. That's what we took away from that? That's what you took away, Your Eminence? That? No, something can be valid and still applicable theologically without being practically applied. I've actually seen bishops say that. They've said, look, I don't see how this practically can be applied in my diocese because of this or that practical concern, but I'm still going to take the theology here and apply that. They got it. Those bishops understood it. They get it. And so that's all Fernandez is saying is that, look, there could be some practical considerations where this may not be able to be applied practically in a diocese. But you can still take the theology and digest that. And he actually said that. So he made that abundantly clear. So I don't know how Cardinal Zinn is having this much difficulty in understanding what's being said. Why is this so hard? Could it be that it's not hard to understand? Could it be that we don't want to understand? Could it be that we want there to be something to complain about, something to criticize? Let's look at the rest of it. The cardinal then set about discussing what he sees as other serious specific problems with the declaration. He noted that the document says couples who ask for a blessing may also ask for God's grace to conform fully to his will, but he also observed that the declaration states the priest is not supposed to examine them to see if they have such an intention. How can a priest bless him or her if they are not sure they have such an intention, or if there is reason to suspect they do not have such an intention at all, the cardinal says. Well, I think it's pretty clear. You don't have to go through a series of questions or anything. It's pretty clear circumstantially. If they come up to you, two guys in a tuxedo, you don't have to ask questions. You already know what their intention is, and that's excluded by the document. But if two people say, hey, can you come, you know, and just pray for us? Okay. Yes, I'll pray for you. May God bless you and protect you and help you to turn away from sin so that you are united to his will and you stop sinning against each other. There's your prayer. There it is. Oddly enough, that's pretty similar to the one that Cardinal Fernandez suggested. He said it in a nicer way, but that's pretty much what he said. This isn't hard. Why is he getting so hung up here? Again, is it that we just don't want to understand? Let's flip the table. Let's turn it around. Let's say Cardinal Zinn really wanted to implement fiducia supplicans, and he really just believed in it. Do you think that he would be able to come up with answers to these questions? Let's just assume he is just completely on board with the papal magisterium and he just wants to harmonize the magisterium and defend it. Do you think that he could come up with answers to these questions? I just did. I'm just a guy, right? I'm not a cardinal. So if I could do it and I just did it live and I could give you a lot more, surely he can do this as well. Might it be that we just don't want to do this? We don't want to read the document in harmony with the past. We rather want to read it with the hermeneutic of rupture. Sort of like your atheists and your Muslims do with the New Testament and the Old Testament. Another point he recalled, let me share my screen. Another point he recalled, that scripture says pastors are to protect the sheep, heal the wounded, and lead back the lost, but added that the declaration appears to say that individuals could attain a blessing as a couple and leave as a couple after the blessing. Doesn't that mean that they can, at least for the time being, continue to live in the wrong, sinful way? He asked. No, it never says that, hey, yeah, you're just completely welcome to continue to sin. No. And if the prayer is so that you would be freed from this sin, I'm quite certain that's the exact opposite of the priest telling them to continue to live in sin. Right? So if you're praying that they would be freed from all imperfections, as the document said, that's quite certain and quite clear. You're not telling them, hey, continue to sin against each other. It goes on further. Zinn noted that the declaration frequently stresses the need to avoid confusion, but the blessings encouraged by the declaration do in fact create confusion. No, not necessarily. not as outlined by the document. If you abuse or ignore the document, that will create confusion, but that's not a fault of the document. That's a fault of the person who is disregarding the document. But if you actually follow the document and you're praying that they would be freed from sin, that doesn't create confusion. That's actually pretty clear that you need to be freed from sin. Who's really creating the confusion? He further mentioned how secular media intentionally adds to the confusion and wondered why church figures such as Father James Martin, advocate of Sister of Loretto, and the German bishops are allowed to create confusion or fail to follow some of the rules in the declaration. Well, let's get straight to the point. Let me be blunt. Not only is Father James Martin allowed to create confusion, but frankly, Cardinal Zen is also allowed to create confusion. Cardinal Seurat is allowed to create confusion. Cardinal Mueller is allowed to create confusion. Cardinal Burke is allowed to create confusion. Bishop Strickland is allowed to create confusion. Father James Altman is allowed to create confusion. Bishop Schneider is allowed to create confusion. Archbishop Vigano is allowed to create confusion. So if we're going to complain about people creating confusion on the left, okay, what about people on the right creating confusion? And frankly, it seems to me at this point that there's a whole lot more on the right creating confusion than people on the left. You can name your Father James Martins, but then you have a whole bunch of other names on the other end of the spectrum. And it seems like there's a whole lot more now on that end of the spectrum that are creating confusion at this point. It's kind of like you got Father James Martin on over here, then you got a whole bunch of these other guys over there. Both are creating confusion, I grant it. And I think both should be disciplined. Father James Martin should be disciplined. You know who else should be disciplined? Cardinals who create confusion, cardinals who bear false witness, bishops who create confusion, bishops who bear false witness, bishops and even archbishops that say the see is vacant. Maybe those should be disciplined. So let's be real here. Should he really use the confusion card? It is inconsistent with pastoral principles to create confusion on this important issue, he said. Wow. Sometimes we can see faults in others, but we don't see it in ourselves. The cardinal closed by saying that the matter of blessing same-sex couples and others in unions that contradict church teaching should be freely discussed at the upcoming synodal assembly in October in order to reach conclusions on the issue. Golly, I thought that we were going to avoid derailing the synod by bringing this topic up. But here we go. Now Cardinal Zen wants to bring it right back into the synod. Fiducia supplicans is a preemptive declaration, the cardinal said, which showed grave contempt for the office of the bishops, the successors of the apostles, the brothers of the Pope. So again, it's not just Cardinal Fernandez showing grave contempt for the office of the bishops. It's rather Pope Francis doing so. And, you know, Cardinal Zen, I think, should just come out and say, hey, that's what I'm saying. It's not really an issue with Fernandez. I'm not just calling for his resignation. I'm calling for the other guy's name on the document. You know, the Pope. You know, the thing that actually made it magisterial. I'm calling for that. And I'm accusing that of suggesting heresy. Well, I needless to say, wrapping it up here, I was not impressed by this. I thought that, wow, this was a very lazy attempt to read the document. Surely Cardinal Zen can do better than this. Surely he can read it in a harmonious way, as he is obligated to do. Surely this kind of public dissent should not be expressed per Donum Veritatis anyway. Surely he knows that this is also in violation with the very profession that he put forward as a cardinal. Don't know why these guys are tolerated by Pope Francis. You know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But for some reason, he has been incredibly merciful and patient to them while they continue to cause confusion in the church. And I would just simply ask, if you are one of those people who feel like the document is causing confusion, okay, Now, my question to you is, what are you doing to clear that up by showing how to read the document in harmony with the past? And somebody might at this point say, oh, well, I don't think that it is in harmony. Bingo, there you go. You're now operating with the hermeneutic of rupture by your own admission now. Thank you for now admitting it. You're now no different than the German liberals. You're now no different than the Humanae Vitae rejectors. This is why I said there's a lot of parallels between Humanae Vitae and Fiducia Supplicans. If you think it can't be harmonized, that's the problem. You're operating with a hermeneutic that is from modernism. It is not from Catholicism. It is not Catholic. It is not traditional. That's your problem. And so, hopefully, now calling attention to it a little bit more vividly and explicitly here, we can start to correct that. And so if you're concerned with all the confusion, fine. Put in the work necessary to clear up that confusion and show that this is in continuity with the past. And if you're unwilling to do that, okay. But you know what? Do not criticize the liberals when they also introduce rupture. And do not criticize the set of Acontists and the SSPX and others who also say that Vatican II is a rupture with the past. Don't criticize them, because you're no different now, because you operate with the same hermeneutic as they do. That's going to do it, y'all. Hit the like button and the subscribe button. And of course, check me out, patreon.com/reasonandtheology if you want to support me.
For years, Catholics have been made to feel humiliated and ashamed for defending the Pope and the teachings of the Church. This shaming comes not only from non-Catholics, but even from fellow Catholics who mock the Pope and fight against the Church's teachings. Are you sick of being made to feel embarrassed for standing with the Church? I stand with you. For several years, I've been producing content showing why we can be confident in clinging to the Catholic Magisterium. If you stand for restoring support for the Church, help me continue this mission of producing apologetic content that defends the Magisterium by becoming a supporter on Patreon. The link is below, patreon.com/reasonandtheology. Christus vincit. Have you ever noticed that certain Catholic teachings are classified differently? For example, some are called dogmas and others are called doctrines. And then a denial of one of these teachings might be called heretical, while a denial of another might just be called an error. In reality, there are many classifications to various teachings that may be found in the Catholic Church. In my course, The Theological Notes, I offer a crash course on this system that will prepare you to identify a teaching's classification more easily. And I'll also help you determine what level of assent or adherence you are required as a Catholic to give to a particular doctrine. So, if you would like to take this course, visit reason.podia.com.